The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back, and you have heard many people talk about returning to play safely, and by all accounts, the medical experts have seriously disagreed. You heard Bruce Feldman about an hour ago talk about how most of the coaches, if not all, in the Pac-12, after hearing the medical presentation, agreed. The Big Ten has been more muddled, but what about in the SEC? We have not heard a lot other than anecdotally, but we have some information now coming to us courtesy of The Athletic. Josh Kendall is quoting Dr. Catherine O'Neill, who's an infectious disease expert, and she's an assistant professor at LSU's Health Science Center. And she said, "I would say we have seen enough to develop a safe plan. They," meaning the Big Ten, the Pac-12, "have not." Even ID doctors are competitive, apparently. "Our plan was earlier. Our plan was based on an experience that they had not yet done, and we implemented that plan faster than they did for that reason, so we could prepare for this. So we feel confident in our plan. I think our football teams can absolutely get through this. I think our athletic departments can absolutely get through this. I worry about our community and outside forces that we can't control." So some very interesting comments. Again, that is one doctor. She is on the medical task force. I'm sure the Big Ten doctors don't appreciate that, but those were fighting words there from the doc. We are going to continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Logan, you know what I got from that doctor that the coaches are competitive, and even the doctors are saying we're better than you are. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We're okay.
I'm loving it, man. I hope we keep getting some good positive information. Augie kind of triggered something, a memory in my mind. I wanted to, if I have a few minutes, to recount a story of a former SEC coach that I met once in a weird place. My friend, a couple friends of ours were going up to a Pearl Jam show in Atlanta. We used to live down in South Alabama, so we went up and we went to the show. And as we were coming back down, we stopped at a gas station, for whatever reason, maybe to get some gas or whatever, but I remember walking in and seeing this really nice town car pull up beside us, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this guy that looks just like Terry Bowden. Now, this was in 2000, so, you know, I'm an Alabama fan, so I hated Terry Bowden. You know, I despised him, and so I'm thinking, like, what is he doing here? And so we walk in there, and we go get whatever we wanted to buy, and we get into line, and my friend Scott's standing behind me in line, and Terry Bowden walks up beside him, and he's complaining that they don't have the rotisserie hot dogs, you know, like those really nasty things you buy in the gas stations. He's, like, complaining about them not having them. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, is this really Terry Bowden? I can't believe this. You know, this is weird. It's probably like 11 o'clock at night. And so I always said, you know, I would give him a piece of my mind if I ever met him. But, Paul, I chickened out, man. I didn't say anything to him. I acted like I didn't know who he was. But my friend Scott turns around and asks him, he goes, "Hey, are you Terry Bowden, former coach of the Auburn Tigers?" And he goes, "Yes, I am." And he's like, "What are you up to nowadays, man?" He's like, "Well, I got this great job in New York City. I'm driving up there right now to be a host of some show." And I just thought it was the weirdest thing, the most surreal thing.
Well, Logan, when this pandemic ends and we can get together, I will entertain you for hours with Terry Bowden stories that will literally make your hair stand, okay?
I can imagine.
I once was about a month into a project about writing an expose on his tenure at Auburn. There was a New York publisher that wanted to do it, and I was pretty, I mean, a month into a project, and I finally gave up on it because it was going to create so much litigation that I didn't really want to spend the rest of my career fighting the Bowden family. But anyway, you brought back some great memories. Zach is up next. I don't know, where are these? Another North Carolina call. We've been heavy in the Tar Heel State today. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. How you doing?
Thank
today?
You.
I just wanted to say I have to listen to the podcast on my way home from work, so I'm usually about 2 hours behind. Now, I want to say I do fully understand the seriousness of what's going on, but I love the football part of this show, so I'm going to try to bring a little fun back to it. If Jim is so upset about the Bulldogs coming into Tuscaloosa, you know, the first game of the season, he doesn't have to try to, you know, risk $100,000 on just shutting the season down. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand it either. It's just one of those situations where there is no really easy explanation. Zach, we'll come back to that. I don't know if he's going to back that $100,000 bet up, but thank you for the call. I really do appreciate it. We're going to bring a guest on now, Pat Dooley from the Gainesville Sun, and talk about where we are and maybe where we're going. Pat, thank you. I appreciate the time, as always. So where are we? What's going on down there?
I wanted to get in on that $100,000 bet. I can tell you that. When I heard that, I was like, "Oh, I want a piece of that."
Yeah, no, I'll give you a cut of mine.
Yeah, it's pretty funny stuff. But that's Jim, you know.
So give us the read from Gainesville on what's been going on and your level of confidence that the SEC is going to pull this off.
Well, you know, it's funny, Paul. Here we are. It's the Friday before Florida's supposed to open camp Monday, and we had almost no communications from the University of Florida Sports Information or anybody. They have not. I almost get the feeling they're like on a wait and see what's going to happen before they send out any information. So, as you know, Paul, every minute it goes by, you change your mind. You go, I don't know if they're going to play. I think they might. I don't know if they're going to play. I think they might. You know, it's crazy. And it's almost like, you know, watching the it's almost like election night. You're going back and forth. But I don't have any more confidence in it, but I still think it could happen as we go forward. I mean, I do think, you know, today the high schools here in the state of Florida decided they will play, but for some reason didn't push back when they're going to start. So that makes no sense to me at all. But I do understand how it's important for them not only to play, but for the mental health part of it. I think it is a huge factor for teenage young boys and girls. So I'm glad they are playing if they feel like they can safely do it. But let's face it, the protocols that Florida has and Georgia has and Alabama has are much more stringent than what they have in high school.
I understand your skepticism. I think anyone who's absolutely confident this is going to happen, they are welcome to go to Vegas. But what would be your biggest concerns in spite of everything we've heard?
Well, my number one concern is that something really bad happens. And, I mean, nobody wants it to happen, and I'm not rooting against it for only the reason I want to see football played. But if something really bad where you saw players suffer a really bad situation or death. I mean, that's the thing to me that I think that scared off the Pac-10 the Pac-12. I keep getting confused on that because of the numbers, but the Pac-12, which is Robin, of course, the Batman, that is the Big Ten, and I think they were just like, we're not going to take any liability. We don't want any liability issues, which I understand that part of it. But that's the one thing that, like, I think that the SEC has got a lot of good information. They feel like they can handle the myocarditis. We saw that come out today. They feel like they can handle the issue. It's not like this is a disease that was invented. The heart disease was just not invented. I mean, if you get mono, you can get that. But at the same time, if something severe happens, the optics of it are just going to be really bad. So, you know, that's why I'm just not totally optimistic that they're going to play. I hope they are, but I hope they are for I just hope they're going to they get it better than we do. Because, Paul, you know, none of us have as much information as any commissioner in college football about this, or any athletic director of college football. We're reading what we see on Twitter. We're reading what we see on wires. We have no idea what is really going on, and I think it would help to be a little more transparent about it, but that's not the way.
But I wonder too, Pat, we just read one ID doctor in LSU, but I mean, I think we're both probably in the same boat here. I mean, I'm now to the point where I'm skeptical of every doctor I hear, because you know, I want neutral doctors. I don't want conference provided experts. Do you?
No, but you know what? That's what again shows the lack of leadership in college football right now. Or 5 months ago, 4 months ago, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, there should have been a committee put together of the best people that understand where we are, and file reports with the NCAA and tell them, here's where we are, here's where we think we are, here's what we think is going to happen, instead of like, hey, yeah, it's almost like you're in a trial. Remember the movie The Verdict?
Sure.
You know, when he gets that guy up there and he tells him,
oh, yeah,
why it was, yeah, why it was why she had to have been admitted with food on her stomach, and he was discredited, and you're like, that feels like what it is, you know. So we just need to kind of I think, again, it would have been great if we just had a group together that really knew what they were doing, and they were all on the same page, and they said, here's what we're going to do based on that. But that's not the way college football works.
Yeah, since we're like, not I've having media like we're, since we're not having media days, Pat, well, why don't we have a media days with about 20 doctors? Because frankly, it's more interesting listening to them than it is to the coaches at the moment.
Yeah, we could bring in Dr. Fauci just for you know, a little comic relief at some point. But yeah, it's almost like it's like the five families. You know, I mean, what does Don Sankey say? What does Don Swofford say? You know, well, he's got his consigliere who says this. So it's crazy. It's really. I probably have had too many movie references already.
I'm curious though, just the rivalries now, you know, with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 down. I mean, you have these three rather strange dance partners, and they all need each other right now. I mean, you live in a state where there are a number of ACC schools as well. What's it like down there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everybody was kind of on pins and needles when the Big 12 was making this decision. Because if they say no, it's done. They're not going to play with just two teams and or just two conferences. So I think a lot of us were kind of waiting for that. And then you went, okay, three teams is enough. And then what was interesting to me, Paul, and maybe I misread the story, but the College Football Playoff Committee came out and said, yeah, we're meeting on the December 20th. Whoever's playing, we're going to consider you for the playoff. And I'm like, well, then you can count that. You don't have to – this isn't like Alabama claiming the – 1934 national championship because Life magazine gave it to them. This you can count this national championship. Nobody's going to complain.
Totally agree. If we have a season, the championship is going to count. Pat, we will continue our conversations. It's always really good to hear from you. Stay well, and who knows? We've made it through another week. That's all I know.
Hey, we kept the story alive. That's right.
We're still in the game. That's all that matters. Hey, thanks, Pat.
See you. Paul.
And you know what? That's about it. I mean, if you do what we all do, and I include all the fans in this with us, because we are traveling down the street, down the ocean in the same boat, you just want to keep this thing going. You don't want to see it end like it is right now in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. We will come back and get your reaction to all of that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back to the program, and let's go to Arkansas next. And Felicia is on the air. Hello, Felicia.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you. I wanted to listen so much. I took a pair of headphones, and they're not, you know, I'm not really cell phone savvy, so those were those big noise canceling headphones that people use when they're working on heavy duty equipment.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you. I'm glad you made the move.
Oh, I've enjoyed very much what has been going on for the past 3 months. In fact, I looked online to see what radio awards there are for commentators to see if I couldn't help nominate you for something other than sports talk radio.
Well, thank you. But appreciate that very much.
One of the things, just quickly, that the people are complaining that some people's schedules with the east-west combination are harder than others. The decision compares very nicely to March Madness. The number one team plays the 16 team, and it goes down, you know, 8 and 9, 4 and 13. So that's why, you know, Arkansas, you know, has probably the worst schedule of ever in the country. But just quickly, a couple of things as far as the athletes wanting to have more of an employee contract. I think this is a good time to argue that they would have workman's comp, you know, for something that would progress over in life. I think that's something that would be right now a good argument for them to make their point and to look at a case for that. As far as something I haven't heard and other people talk about is this boyfriend-girlfriend thing when somebody gets on campus. I mean, I remember how hard it was to have a crush and make an effort to see someone. I don't know when, how long these guys have been in the bubble, but when is the last time they saw, you know, the person they're dating or engaged to, et cetera? You know, how are they going to burst the bubble to see them once they hit campus?
Yeah, well, first of all, Felicia, let me explain. They are not in a bubble. I mean, they have been self-contained during voluntary workouts, but you know, we saw countless incidents back in June at Clemson, at Alabama, at LSU, where players went to parties, went to bars. And I mean, you know, very few schools have acknowledged this, and you know, they're telling us now that their numbers are really good, but they're not going back to the beginning and tell us how many contracted it early on, and that's most important, as you know, from how are they dealing with it versus, you know, are they going to infect anyone else. Once you've had it, there's a reasonably good feeling that you're not going to get it again anytime soon, but that's not a guarantee either.
No, I listened to the conversation you had, I think, with Dr. Allen, and I appreciated much of the things he had to say, and I can't compete with any of his statistics, but I think a lot of that stuff is too soon to tell on what's going to be the issues coming up. You know, the other thing I wanted to bring up when we were discussing earlier today if the SEC versus the other two teams that aren't playing, especially the Big Ten, if the SEC can continue the whole season and those students, those athletes are not eligible to have a second season such that SEC schools pile up with a bunch of players, then the SEC is going to have more room for other athletes to come in, and certainly that is a carrot to ask them to come in. But I definitely, if I could nominate you for an award, I'd get to it. But for the most part, I searched and searched, and I can't find what organization or association makes those nominations. But I've enjoyed
that. Well, Felicia, thank you. I thank you very much for the thought. I'm more than happy just to accept your nomination, and que sera. Hey, be well. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, Felicia.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. We will continue. Dylan is up next in Georgia. Dylan, thanks. Great to have you on.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a first-time caller. I really appreciate you taking my call. You're a legend, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, hey, I am a high school track and cross-country coach in Georgia in the biggest school system in Georgia. I just wanted to talk with you and get your opinion on and what you think about high school sports right now. My concern, as a sports lover, I want to see sports happen. I definitely want to see college football and pro sports, but I look around at these high schools and at our own practices on our campus, and I'm looking around and I see, I see sports being played, and as you know, most sports, it's pretty hard to socially distance and stay safe, and my concern is the lack of testing. These high schools, they don't have the ability to test. They don't have the ability to test, and I feel like the only way you're going to know if you have a spread is when somebody gets sick. Why would a high schooler go get tested?
No, Dylan, I'll make it quick, but I have great concern for high schools right now for that reason, and I don't need to tell you, you're in high school, but I think they're, I'll be careful how I put this because there are a lot of great people in high school athletics, but I think I think you know what I'm trying not to say. There can be a little bit of a mentality in high school as well as college. That concerns me a little bit towards dealing with this correctly, and the fact that they're just not equipped, and it's also so uneven. We had a young man on earlier who covers high school football in South Carolina. In South Carolina, they're playing high school football. In bordering North Carolina, they're not. In Georgia, in Alabama, and Florida, of course, they are, and there's some political reasons probably for that as well. But I just hope, please stay in touch with us. I'm really interested. I'm fascinated by the dilemma that high school coaches are going through right now, because it is probably, the idea of what you're doing and what your colleagues are doing, trying to manage players without really, depending on where you are, without very many resources, is pretty scary.
Well, we have a race with 700 kids tomorrow, so I can let you know how that goes.
Well, I loved track and field to watch it when I was younger. I was the slowest person on every team. But Dylan, call us back and let us know how it's going. We're thinking of you and look forward to chatting again.
You got it, Paul. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you very much. And that goes for all high school coaches out there. I think it's we have obsessed over these programs that $100-200 million budgets. Talk about a high school in Georgia or South Carolina or Mississippi. I mean, they had some real challenges on their hands. We will take a break on this Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back. Tom is up next in Georgia as we race to the finish line here on a Friday afternoon. Hey, Tom.
Paul Feinbaum, long-time listener, first-time caller. Hey,
Thank you. You
had a guy yesterday, I think his name was Jim, I'm not sure about that, but it was towards the end of the program, and he was talking about how you need to gear your show more back towards entertainment. And I'm not calling to complain at all, but something that I would love to see, every school in the SEC has their favorite announcer. I'm Georgia, so Larry Munson is obviously mine. It would be fun if you had a day dedicated to whatever team's best announcer and had people from those schools call in and give their memories and maybe play clips or things like that, because if you did something like that for Larry Munson, I would love it.
Yeah, let me tell you a little secret, Tom. We've got a whole about 3 months of those shows planned, but we hope we don't have to do it.
Well, if we're going to voluntarily submit ourselves to this scamdemic, we might as well have something.
Yeah, no, I will tell you, this is, you know, we fully expect to get to the first game and have a college football season. In the event we don't, we are never going to mention COVID again on this program, and we're just going to have fun for the next 4 months of the season and act like it's going on. So we will definitely and looking forward very much to thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. We got a headline here on the program that we want to share with you. I realize some of you are listening on the radio, and we will read it to you. This is from the San Antonio Express News. Angler reels in a 53-pound Warsaw grouper in Point, Arkansas. Some of you are saying, why in the world are you sharing that? Well, in this conversation yesterday about how to make this show better, the next caller suggested us talking about fishing on this program.
Well, everybody has a fish story, Paul. I mean, everybody. So I was just trying to think of things, topics that might make the show flow, you know what I mean?
But I hear you, brother.
Appreciate you thinking about that. But where does the Marconi Award rank for you guys? Have you ever won one of those?
Squirrel, I have never won. It's a huge award. I have never won anything. So
okay. Well, I mean, she was trying to nominate you. I mean, I nominated Matt Wyatt a few months ago for the Marconi. I don't know if he's received it yet or not.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. When it comes to the television and radio business, I am like 0 for my career.
Well, same here. But the reason I called in, you know, I realize it's an election year, and I realize, you know, you media guys and politicians, you know, y'all are creating new rules every day. But who determined that universities are now responsible for this virus? I mean, who determined that in the first place?
Well, no one did. The universities did what everyone else did back in March, and they shut down, and then they started talking about how can they safely reopen, and that's where we are right now.
So now they're responsible, though, if a student catches it, regardless of where the student catches it, it sounds like.
No, they're not responsible for that. They are doing everything they can to help mitigate the issue, but yeah, if you have serious student outbreaks on Mississippi or Mississippi State's campus, it will have an adverse effect on everything else.
Are any other sicknesses and illnesses going to be covered in the future now?
Squirrel, I think we've had this conversation a few times. I'm ridiculous. Probably not really excited about having it again on a Friday night, but feel free to pontificate, okay?
Aloha.
Man, sometimes the conversation just never changes, even with more. Scott is up next in New Mexico. Hey, Scott, go right ahead.
Oh, amazing. Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I'm a Mountain West Conference fan, of course, being out here in New Mexico, and it was canceled. I knew it was coming like the Big Ten was. They act like they're not going to, but, of course, they cancel it. My go-to sports networks now are ACC Network and the SEC because you play the great college reruns of great football. And I guess the American Athletic Conference is playing ball this year, too. And I suggest we promote them a little bit and say they're part of the Big Four. And we could have a playoff. It's built in now. We have their champion play the least best of the other three. And then after that, we have our champion. What do you think?
I think it's a fantastic idea. Glad to hear from you from New Mexico. David is up next in Florida. Hey, David.
Good afternoon, Coach Feinbaum. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm a retired sports writer. I even crossed swords with you one time in print many, many years ago. I'd be happy to relay that briefly if time permitting. But quarantining is not a problem to me because I am retired. But every now and then I feel like I better call Paul. And my preferred way of consuming your show is to record it so I can listen to you and most of your guests. And
well, by the way, I don't know if this program is pretty available these days. I think we replay it two other times for those who it's on in the evening and then it's on again early in the morning. I know I've seen it in the morning. But I'm glad you do record it. That way you can just skip through some of the squirrely calls like we just had.
I don't think Squirrel can spell woke, much less be able to discuss it in any considerable fashion. But anyway, I'm amazed, as you are probably too, how many epidemiologists like to call your show and give their expert opinion. And I've noticed you added a number of cardiologists to the peanut gallery this week. So it's all good.
David, you'll appreciate that. The one part of medicine that we have failed to include is the one I need desperately right now, and that is psychiatry.
Well, there's a mental health aspect to this whole thing, that's for sure. I'd like to suggest to you, Paul, that many, 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 many years from now, when you're no longer with us, like, you know, suffer the fate that we all will one day, that you consider for your tombstone the words, "We just don't know."
David, how long did you participate in that dastardly business called sports writing?
I was in the newspaper business for 25 years and then spent the last 5-10 years of my life, but 10 years of my working career as a high school math teacher. But I was in Birmingham covering the Sun Belt basketball tournament, and this was 1990. And,
oh, my goodness. I know exactly what you're going to say here.
You wrote a column that pretty much trashed the conference and UAB's participation in it.
Right.
And I came back the next day with a couple of my remarks myself about, well, that was really unnecessary, you know, make us all feel welcome here. But
I will tell you, I remember that column well, and there was no reason to do it. I don't know what my psychological issues were back then, but I just seemed I seem bent on making myself the antithesis of the head of the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, I think you succeeded in that mission at that point. Anyway, I'm sure you all are obviously aware that we're not just SEC fans; we're college football fans, and you know, this season has already been greatly diminished by what's happened, and you know, I don't see it ending out being real satisfying. Regardless of what happens, but I'm absolutely convinced the ACC and SEC and Big 12 are going to find a way to start, and you know, no fans or whatever, they're going to start. I just truly hope it doesn't blow up in their faces, but you know, we just don't know, Paul. We'll see.
We don't. Well, David, they know the calculated risk, and the only reason I say they know that is that they haven't had to make it's one thing to say we're going to play, it's another thing to trot out your favorite epidemiologist to say whatever makes your conference look good, it's another thing to go through it, And that final turn is going to be the most difficult. I frankly don't think it's that difficult to do what they're doing now. It's what I would do, and I think perhaps you would be doing the same thing. But when they make that on September 19th, when they say, okay, we're having a game this following Saturday, that's when it gets really interesting.
Absolutely. You know, what the protocol, what happens, you know, your star quarterback tests positive on Wednesday with, you know, and this is all kinds of scenarios that would be worked out. But I truly hope they make it through and have
I do too. Hey, listen, great to talk to you and hope to talk again soon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.